we'd like to capture your minds right now. Take you a little bit higher.
This is Indie Media On Air for the week of July 9th, 2007. I'm Bronwyn Malden with the Los Angeles Independent Media Center. Once a month, Indie Media On Air highlights the work of independent media makers around the globe. Today's show is one in an ongoing series created by graduate students in the journalism department at Cal State Northridge. Today's show was created by Suki Chung, and it's part one of a two-part series focusing on transgendered people in Los Angeles. This week, we'll learn about their lives and some of the issues they deal with on a daily basis. Next week, we'll learn about the specific challenges faced by transgendered people in the workplace. There are a wide range of organizations and resources available to help transgendered people here in the LA area. You can find a listing of some of those resources on the KPFK website. Just go to kpfk.org and click over to the Indie Media On Air program page and click on today's date. This is Indie Media On Air. I'm Suki Chung from California State University, Northridge. On today's show, you are going to listen to part one of a two-part series about transgendered women. Even though there have been efforts made by many transgender activists and advocates for the transgender community, it seems their voice hasn't reached the general public adequately. In the following stories, you will hear about transgender women's childhood memories, their transitional experience, the consequences of their transition, and their notions of living as a transgendered woman. You are listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and streaming worldwide at kpfk.org. This is Amanda Cole, 22-year-old Latina transgendered woman.
I started transitioning when I was 13. When I was little, I used to watch the girls to curl their hair, and I would put little turtlenecks on my head and pretend to have hair and wear dresses. And it was just always something I knew that's what I wanted to pray, that I wanted to be a girl.
This is Hannah Howard, 29-year-old Caucasian transgendered woman.
When I was around 9 or 10, I started to fantasize about being female and start to think and start to imagine what it would be like to be female. And it was a really powerful fantasy. It brought up a lot of strong emotions for me. But I didn't know what that meant.
This is Sean Cavanis, 41-year-old African-American transgendered woman.
I was 17 when I did my transition. So it wasn't as difficult for me as it would have been for people who are, I would say, maybe 30-something, trying to start up, build up, change their life all over again. Me, myself, I believe that I was born like this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, my mother told me that she knew when I was a baby I was going to be like this, but she just didn't know to what extreme I was going to be. When I was a kid, I played with dolls. I did not play with trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I dressed up in girls' clothes. I did not like dressing in jeans. I did not like the baseball hats. I didn't like nothing, none of that stuff. So it was the masculine stuff, I didn't do it. The feminine things, I did it. That was all I did. I don't think that it's a disorder, and I believe no one is a mistake. And as far as transgenders are concerned, we were born with a female chromosome in our body. We're not fully developed as males. We don't have a masculine bone in our body. We're not thinking about going out lifting weights. We're not thinking about racing trucks and shooting pistols. You know, we're thinking about putting on makeup, finding a pretty dress, getting a purse to match the shoes,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting our hair done. You know, just the dog, you know, and that's just how we are as people.
This is Erica Gonzalez, 37-year-old Latina transgendered woman.
And, you know, and I come from a Latino community, and even now, people who know me now consider me a gay man who dresses like a woman. And my father still has a hard time grasping the idea of transgender. And in school, the same thing. It was always like, why do you behave that way? You know, you're a boy, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, I was a gifted magnet school child, and, you know, already in the Conservatory of Music at age 8. You know, just doing all these great things, straight A student, gifted, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, my behavior, because it didn't fit, overruled all that. And that was forgotten, completely forgotten. And the focus was on why I was acting like a girl. In my mind, it was like, well, no matter what I do, I'll never be right, even if I do these great things. And then not identifying, living as a gay male and just not feeling right, like that was not me, but trying so hard to, because it was a lot easier for my family to grasp the idea of a gay male than a transgender woman. And so living for that for a long time and knowing that that's not who I was, but trying to fit into what their minds could capture and miserable all the time. And so, and then there was violence. There was violence from my father, you know, who couldn't grasp what a gay, because I came out very early. I was 14. I had just turned 14 when I told him I'm gay, because that's what I thought I was. And he couldn't understand that. And, you know, the psychologist and psychiatrist and the violence came soon after that. And I started acting out. And I started drinking and I started using drugs and I started fighting in every school I went to and I started getting thrown out of every school I went to. And then I just stopped going to school altogether and I started doing more drugs. And then, you know, at 16 being told I'm HIV positive. And back then it was like one more thing that's wrong with me. I was 18 when I got incarcerated the first time. And I remember just being ridiculed and laughed at and pointed at and, you know, just feeling like a circus freak, because that's what I was to them. And it's very disempowering that if, you know, when I identify as a transgender woman going to court and being identified as a male, that in itself was hugely disempowering to me.
This is Shauna Madrigal, a 48-year-old Caucasian transgendered woman. When did you transition from male to female?
So that was 99, 7 years ago.
When did you first notice that you didn't belong to the gender you were assigned at birth?
You know, it's hard to really, when you're younger, put a name to it. Because when I was younger, of course, people didn't talk about transsexuals very much, especially not in my household. So there was a feeling when I was 7 or 8 that something was different. But I couldn't really put it in words what it was that was different. I just knew that something wasn't quite right. It wasn't quite like the other boys. I just didn't quite fit in somehow. I guess I kind of wanted to play with the girls more than the boys, and I always kind of identified more with female characters than I did with male characters. And I guess about that age is when I started cross-dressing, too. I started going through my mom's clothes and then dressing up. And that's a pretty common age to start doing that. A lot of times it happens pretty early. And I knew it wasn't quite normal, but I couldn't stop doing it. I mean, I wanted to change back in the mid-80s.
Why did you wait until 1999? Is there any particular reason?
Well, I was scared. And I was very, very afraid at the time. And I didn't have much information. It was different in the days before you had the internet and you could just find out all this information instantly. You know, back then it was very hard to find out information about subjects like this because people weren't talking about it. And I was afraid even to go, like, to the library and check out books because people will know what I'm reading or, you know. And even in places like the library, there wasn't a lot of information. It's not like there is today, where there's so much more out there, and it's very easily accessible. So once I knew about that, that made me want to change. But then I was very, very frightened. I'm 6'2", so I was convinced that I was too tall. I was never going to be passable. I was just going to look really weird and just be this freak. So I hid it, and I got involved with a woman, and we wound up having a child, and wound up trying to be a father and be a good provider and all that. And, you know, just did that for a long time. There's always this fear, because it's really like just stepping off a cliff. I mean, you're stepping off a cliff, and you're hoping that there's something there to catch you. There's this terrible fear that, oh my God, the whole world is going to stop, you know, and I'm going to be completely embarrassed because everyone is going to stop and stare and laugh and yell at me. You think that's what's going to happen.
This is Drian Juarez, 34-year-old Latino transgendered woman.
I consider myself a transgendered female. There are some trans people who want to erase the transgendered past, especially I think it's mostly with people who've gone through the whole surgery. Because they've already got the equipment of a female,
they feel like they don't have to explain their past to anybody. They just want to pass as genetic females. I'm so happy being a trans woman, and I think it's a gift. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that that's the way I was meant to be.
This is Cherry Hoffman, 50-year-old Caucasian transgendered woman.
I see myself as a transsexual woman, having been born anatomically male, but I had the sex reassignment surgery at age 22. I'm now going to be 50, so I've lived more than half my life as a female.
Was it difficult for you to make a decision to have sex reassignment surgery?
No. It was difficult to find my way to get to that. You know, I was, as I was growing up, I was very effeminate in my actions and the way I saw myself. And so my parents were convinced I was going to be homosexual because they couldn't see anything beyond that. And a feminine boy is going to be gay, end of story. So they sought out psychiatric treatment for me. I actually was admitted as an inpatient to this mental hospital at age 12. I remained there until I was 16, 4 years. I did have psychotherapy, talking to a therapist, and then I really had been so convinced by everybody around me that I was gay, having been beat up and taunted and called all those names. My father opposed it initially. He basically just ostracized me. He wouldn't allow me in his home. You know, where I'd been shut out from 12 to 16 because I was institutionalized, now at 19, 20, I was shut out once again because I was pursuing this transsexual.
Many people think that being a transgendered person is immoral. How do you respond to that notion?
I say, you know, God loves me as much as He loves you. And it was because of God that I was able to do this. It's God who gives the surgeons the skill to do whatever it is they do. And God does not make these children come into the world with birth defects. That's nature. And I said, this is the same thing as far as I'm concerned. And I say that this is probably a situation wherein, you know, the mind stays female and the sex characteristics become male. How else could you explain a 5-year-old little boy who so identifies as a girl? And that's the case with me. I mean, I think I remember at about 5, feeling as though I was a girl, acting as a girl, playing with girls. And my parents didn't raise me to think in those ways. It was there in me. Why? Well, why does somebody come into the world with one of those deformed arms or legs? It's something that just happened. It's certainly not God, because God makes no mistake.
This is Alison Hill, 36-year-old Caucasian transgendered woman.
There's a very interesting division. There are a lot of women who transition and are fine with being transgender. And they go out into the world expecting that people will see them as transgender. And they put up walls going, okay, I'm going to the store. People are going to see me as transgender. Okay, well, you know, I'm going to do it anyway. And then there are the people like Kellyanna and me to some extent who don't relate to the transgender, and if anything, we relate to women. So we just want to blend in with women, be women as close as we can be, you know, or as close as we feel we are.
This is Kellyanna Gibbons, 47-year-old, biracial, Korean-American transgendered woman.
I've lived as a woman for over 10 years, so I don't see myself as transsexual. Well, a year ago, I went to Ross Market, and the security guard there started following me to my car, and I was like, why is he following me? Maybe he did something's wrong or something. But what he did was he destroyed me at that moment. I went into such deep depression that I wanted to commit suicide, because it's like you try to transition and move on with your life, and then something like this happens. It doesn't allow you to move on with your life. In the beginning, you're used to it because you figure, you know, okay, you're starting out, you look male, it takes time. But 10 years later, you don't expect that, and just out of the blue, somebody just walks up, oh, you're transsexual. It's like a shock. So after that, I became very obsessed with everything. Look at features, little features, and they pick you apart.
And it's not a beauty thing particularly.
No.
I mean, there are transgender or transsexual women who are obsessed with being beautiful. But a lot of times, it's just an obsession with wanting to be just seen as another woman.
And, you know, you make friends. It's hard to make friends. It's easy to make transsexual friends because they understand. But it's hard to make friends with other women because you always feel like you have this little secret you can't tell them. And it eats away at you because you feel like you want to share with them your life or who you are, but you can't. You know, they're telling you everything about their life, but you cannot tell them everything about your life. So it's almost like being in the witness protection program where, you know, you have a new identity and you have to hide your past and you feel like you're a spy or something. You feel very shameful. You feel very, very shameful. And to this day, the girls I dance with, they don't know. You know, I still see them once in a while, but to this day, I can't tell them that because I'm afraid that they might see me differently. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts, you know, wanted to commit suicide many, many times. Because society does not, they don't accept people like us. And that was very depressing. Mm-hmm. It's how strong you are, you know, how strong you are inside. 1 out of 3 transsexuals statistically commit suicide.
You are listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and streaming worldwide at kpfk.org. This is Stephanie Nicole Robinson, 40-year-old Caucasian transgendered woman.
Oh, I was about 5 and a half. I just started doing girl things, like playing with my sister's toys. She was in ballet, and I wanted to take ballet. So my dad signed me up for baseball. And, you know, I just always felt I was a girl. I always wanted to be a girl. I would just always want to play with the girls. But I just went in and played with the guys. Well, I thought by doing all these masculine things, I would be able to suppress that and make it go away or not do that anymore. So I started doing very masculine things and guy things, football and wrestling in high school and weightlifting and bodybuilding. And yeah, all transgender's experience are pretty much very, very similar. So always, a lot of them typically are around 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
Is a common age, growing up, doing extra masculine things to try to suppress the feminine side. They're so similar. Junior of high school was probably one of the worst years of my life. I don't know if it was because I was 16, 17, getting through puberty or what it was, but I just did not want to deal with being a guy anymore. And God, it was so hard. But I did the same thing I do all the time. I just get through it. And senior year came around. I mean, sometimes I feel like my high school years were just a blur. I was just plodding through life. I was doing things for everyone else. I always did things for everyone else and totally neglected me. But, you know, graduated high school, joined the Marines. I was so lost when I graduated high school. I tried to keep it in control for a long time, growing up as a man, to tell myself that, oh, this is just cross-dressing and just do it for a release or just to ease my attention. And no, it wasn't like that. I always had the toughest time, you know, accomplishing things as a man. I always felt I had to work 3 times harder than the next guy. And I thought this cross-dressing thing is just destroying my life as a man. And I came to realize after transition was that no, the cross-dressing thing wasn't destroying my life as a man. Living as a man was destroying my life as a woman. People say, I have a choice. You know, you live as a man or a woman. No, that I did have a choice, but that wasn't my choice. The choice was, and it came to this one night, was to die, kill myself, or live life as a transgender woman. And I chose life. And I didn't start living full-time until June of 2003. You know, I knew I had to live the rest of my life as a transgender woman and just get through it. And it's been wonderful. A lot of ways, it's so much better. In some ways, it's worse. It became better in that I felt comfortable with who I was for the first time in a long time. And just being able to be me all the time with everyone was just an incredible experience for me. And it's worse in ways that are more financial or regarding employment or dealing with society's views on transgender in public. You know, how I'm treated. You know, I've been laughed at, I've been spit on, I've been pointed at, threatened, and throw things at me.
This is Alexis Rivera, 29-year-old Latina transgendered woman.
If I transition, then yeah, I might lose my family and I might not ever be able to see them ever again. But if I don't transition, I may commit suicide because it's too strong of a feeling or it's too strong of an emotion to not transition.
As you probably notice by now, the desire to transition and live as a woman is too strong to be suppressed. And here is a 21-year-old Latina transgendered woman, Jasmine Garcia, who hasn't received the support from her parents when she needed it the most. How did she respond?
I left my house probably like around 14, 15. Yeah. I was living with friends, you know. But I've been on the streets. I've been in the foster system. So where I live at now is Gay and Lesbian Center. I would say this would probably be the best place for you because I've been to many places and they just don't tolerate it. You know, they don't want to accept it. They don't want to see. I'm living in the shelter because my mom, she don't want to. She knows I'm gay. She knows it, but she don't want to see it, to hear it, or to believe it. She's in denial. She just don't want to hear it. But
that you are transgender.
I'm a transgender, yeah. I'm going into being a female. And it's sad to say she don't want to hear it. She don't want to be a part of it. She don't want to, just nothing about it, you know. She's just not interested. So my mom was never supportive. Before, I was probably getting, you know, called names and stuff, but that was little. You know, I was little. I didn't know what I was going through. And if I knew all the stuff that I went through now, I wish I could have that at that age, at 15, so I could be stronger at that age. Because no one guided. A lot of it has to do with no one guiding me. No one being there. No one saying, this is how you should do this. This is how your posture should be. This is how you should present yourself. Regardless of what anybody says, you know, you were born this way. You got to think about it too. Why would I want to be disowned from my family?
Unfortunately, Garcia is not an isolated story. There are many transgender youth, especially among women of color, Latinas and African Americans, who are abandoned by their parents and are living in a shelter on the streets. Transgendered women Rivela, Gonzalez, and Howard will tell you the reason and the different characteristics as well as the different cultural acceptability towards transgendered people among diverse ethnic groups.
I would say 70%, I would even say 80%. Of transgender youth don't have a mother or a father that supports them. I could even probably say 90%, but I don't want to go that high. But the majority of transgender youth don't have the support of their biological mother or father.
Caucasian women tend to transition later on in life after they have a degree, after they have employment, after they've made a life for themselves. They tend to transition later on in life, and then, you know, they've got all the things. They have the degree and the job and the house and the car. And the Latina transgenders, we tend to like to the most difficult road and start off very early and kind of forget about education and employment. And because of culture and the unacceptability in the Latino culture of somebody who is transgender, then of course we're going to disassociate from that as soon as we can. But you know, the African-American community struggles. It's difficult. It's a similar culture where the family is not so accepting. But what I have noticed, what is funny, is that in Latino culture, the longer that you're a transgender woman, the more acceptable it becomes, even to those who resisted it in the beginning. But I have noticed in the African-American community, a large part of the community, their family just wipes their hands of them forever. And the dynamics of the family is completely different. Completely different. And as far as Asian women, you know, I personally haven't met an Asian woman whose family has said, we don't want to deal with you anymore, leave. I'm sure that there must be some, but I haven't met any.
You know, and race is a big issue in the male to female community, because if you've got the privilege of being white, the white privilege somewhat balance out the oppression of being transgender. But if you're, you know, if you have the oppression of being a person of color and the oppression of being transgender, then you've got a lot to deal with. You know, that's going to be really challenging.
Regardless of racial group, the majority of women did not get their family support when they transitioned. Sean Tavenis, 41-year-old African-American transgendered woman who currently works at the Minority AIDS Project as a PR educator is one of them and emphasizes the parents' acceptability.
As long as I have my family support and my better friends support, then that's all I really need, as long as I can stay confident and focused on the things that I need to do for myself. When I was 17 and I was transitioning, I didn't have my family at the time, and I just had myself. So with that, I went to use drugs, and I started prostituting, and I started going to jail, and I started this pattern of just the worst. And until I actually had my family's support behind me is when I actually stopped using drugs. And I started to get my life together. So it did make a big difference in my life and as who I am today, having my family behind me. When I stopped using drugs, I went to school, I graduated. It was a big step for me. And from there on, I found a job, then my second job, and now this job, you know. So and each time, everything got better and better and better. So I taught myself that I can do this. Even though I didn't have a friend that I could turn to or something like that, I had my family, and that was all I really needed. And I knew that if I had my family support, then I could be a better person within myself.
That was Sean Kavanis. You are listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. We'll be back in a moment with the rest of the interview.